globe, transforming lives into legacy. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Okoko. And now, today's word.
Well, as you know, for the past few weeks, I've been very fundamental to my thinking and to my theology and to my understanding as a child of God and as a preacher. Much of what I preach and teach is premised on the concepts that I'm sharing with you through this series, and I want you to pay particular attention to them. As I said earlier on when I began the series, I had preached this years ago, but I have worked on the message again, expanded it. We've talked about different aspects of the mandate. We talked about being fruitful, and under that, we talked about the principle of the seed. We touched on multiplying. Today, we are at part five, and we are talking about fill the earth. Fill the earth. In the old King James Version, it says, replenish the earth. And as a matter of fact, in terms of liking, I like the word replenish better than fill, because replenish sounds a bit more exotic than just fill. We fill things all the time. But the reason I'm not using replenish is because the meaning of replenish, as it is rendered in the old King James Version, does not exactly represent the meaning from the original Hebrew text. Because replenish means you have to plenish again. Plenish means fill. Re means again. So it gives the understanding that something was filled and then you have to fill it again. So it doesn't really do justice to the script. The script actually means to fill, and that's all it means. So I think the New King James and other versions that say fill the earth do a better rendering than replenish the earth. However, I will use the word replenish and fill the earth interchangeably, bearing in mind the understanding I have related to you. If you didn't get all that I said, don't worry. Okay. All right. So let's get into the text. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, also to verse number 28. Genesis 1. 26 to verse number 28. And we read, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Fill the earth. Last week, when I was talking about multiplying, I used the analogy of a musician who goes out to the studio, produces a work, a masterpiece. He gets the master tape, that's the fruit. But that fruit is valueless or useless until he goes out there to multiply or duplicate the fruit into many pieces that is multiplying. But can you imagine what happens if that musician has the master tape, he has duplicated, he has multiplied, then he goes to store all that multiplied tape in a warehouse. No work done. So after he has got the master tape, he has multiplied, he has to distribute. That is, fill the earth. He has to supply. He has to take what he has multiplied and take it to many places. That's the instruction God gave to Adam. You start by producing something, you multiply it, and you distribute it all over the world. So, what does it mean to fill? To fill means to occupy available space. To occupy available space. That space may already have been occupied by somebody, or it may be an empty space. but it must be occupied. Most of the time, the space you are supposed to occupy already has some people operating in that space. You will not be the first person to go to that place. So when God says, fill the earth, it means probably that there would have been people who took an early lead ahead of you, or it could be that the place is empty. So to fill means to occupy available space. Secondly, it means to overwhelm with your presence. To overwhelm with your presence. Your presence being felt in a place. Many times that word that is used, fill the earth, is used in relation to the glory of God, where it says the glory of God filled a place, a tabernacle, or filled a person's life. It overwhelms a person. To fill means to occupy available place, space, and to overwhelm with your presence. So when God says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, he means let your presence not just stay in a contained area. Go out, let your presence be felt. Overwhelm, fill available spaces, and make sure that what you have with you goes beyond where you are geographically at a point in time. To fill has all these meanings. But we are not just told to fill, we are told what to fill. And the Bible says, fill the earth. Or as the Old King James says, replenish the earth. You don't just replenish, there is a spot, there is a geographical space that you're supposed to fill. And earth is our agenda. Earth is our scope. And when the Bible talks about earth, it means land, it means country, it means wilderness, an unoccupied wild place. So, to fill the earth, you know that you have to deal with the earth. You have to literally conquer the earth. So, let's say somebody has, let's use the first analogy, a musician, he produces music, he's multiplied, but you know that the biggest battle is about to happen, distribution. That is when you meet people who don't want you to spread, because as far as you produce and multiply, it stays with you. When you are replenished or you are filling, that is when you are taking what you have and giving it to other people. And that is where you're going to have your greatest battles. Because people may not mind that you are fruitful. They may not mind that you have been multiplying your fruit. But they will mind if you want to take that fruit beyond where you are to another place. There, you're going to fight forces. So, the command to fill the earth is wrapped in warfare. I can almost imagine, and I just want you to use the power of your imagination, that Adam, I don't know, I mean, we have an idea where the Garden of Eden is, but since I'm in Ghana, let me take some liberties here and assume that the Garden of Eden was in Ghana. Is that some place you can all agree? You wish the Garden of Eden was in Ghana. So let's say, for the purposes of my illustration, that the Garden of Eden is in Ghana, Accra, Agbogbloshie. There is no Sodom and Gomorrah around us. There's no rubbish. This is Garden of Eden. Adam is here. And he's working hard, and he's produced, and he has children, and he has developed new tools and new inventions, and he's doing new things. Now he has a chair, he has a table, he has all kinds of things, he has clothes to wear. These are all things he didn't have before. But it's all here in the Garden of Eden, in Accra. All right. Now God says, fill the earth. That means what he has created in the Garden of Eden, he must take to other places as well. Is that right? Now, when he starts moving from the Garden of Eden in Accra, Ghana, West Africa, on the zero latitude and longitude, the center of the earth, practically, he's moving up the equator. So he starts moving. Now, when he's moving and he gets to the northern part of Ghana, he's going to realize that things are not the same in the north as they are in the south. And as he goes a bit north, he realizes that solutions he had developed down here in Accra don't work up there because the weather, the environment is harsh, desert, hot. So if, for example, he had developed a certain kind of shoes which work well in Accra, he may realize in the desert, those shoes may burn under his feet. So he has to find new ways of taking what he has to work in the desert. Then he goes beyond the desert and he goes up north, he gets to the cold regions. And all of a sudden, the clothes he had manufactured in Accra don't work again. The solutions that work somewhere do not work. So in replenishing, in filling the earth, you come into contact with new realities that were not there when you were creating your original fruit. So in replenishing, there's going to be a lot of change and adjustment. Are you following me? All right. So what do you need to fill the earth? What do you need to fill the earth? God has given you something. You have a solution. You have an idea. You have been fruitful. You have multiplied, but you are working well in a space. Now you want to go beyond where you are. What are the things you need? I'm going to talk about five things that are essential as we replenish or as we fill the earth. First is that you have to extend. You need to extend or extension. That means you must stretch your limits. It is critical to have a sense of adventure and a hunger to see and do new things. We must be ready to explore new territories and go to places we are not familiar with. If you don't explore, somebody will explore you. You know, it's always interesting when you read world history. You see the difference between those who were filling the earth and those who were staying in their Eden. For example, we hear, for example, that Christopher Columbus was the one who discovered the New World in, I think, 1495 or thereabouts. Am I right? You don't read history. Okay. But I think I'm about right. 1495, Christopher Columbus landed in the New World. He found people. But those people are not called the discoverers. Christopher Columbus is called the discoverer, but before he discovered, people were there. The people were waiting, going nowhere until somebody came and discovered them. Wisdom. If you stay where you are and make no movement beyond where you are, somebody from somewhere will come and discover you. And when the person discovers you, they will be given the credit for where you are. So if you go to all the islands in that area, the names of the islands is not the names that people gave it to who were staying there earlier. It's the names that the explorer gave it. Even America is named after the explorer, Amerigo Vespucci. Before then, there were the Cherokees, there were the Shawnees, there were the all the Apache Indians and Sioux Indians. But the nation was named after the explorer. If you don't move, somebody will explore you. And after he explores you, he will put his authority over your life. So God says, don't just produce in Eden, go out beyond Eden and replenish the earth. The problem is that Eden is so comfortable that sometimes when you stay there, you don't want to go anywhere else. You have to extend. Secondly, in extension, you'll be met with opposition, so you have to contend. Contention. You have to fight off opposition. every exploration effort will bring you into contact with new challenges. If you read history and you read who discovered the source of the Great Zambezi, they will tell you it was David Livingstone. But there were people living there. They are not giving the credit for what they had because they never moved from where they are. And that's what happened to Ghana. We were sitting, I was somewhere, speaking our nice fighting and our nice Ashanti and our nice Ghana and our nice country and fighting our little battles until Don Diego de Azambuja got here. Then everything changed. Enslaved some, colonized some, and made us eventually to be citizens of a country we had not seen before. It was called Great Britain. Why? Because the Europeans were filling the earth. They took what they had and they went to the rest of the world to impose it on others. In a sense, they were fulfilling a creation mandate. You have to learn to contend. You have to fight because you're going to be faced with environmental hazards, cultural limitations, cultural problems, natural problems, man-made obstacles. Third, you have to make amends. You have to amend. You have to make changes. You have to modify. If you seriously, those of you who are into exports, you know that the way you package products to be sold in Ghana is different from the way you package products to be sold in other countries. Ghana, we know we produce those nice chocolates, Golden Tree chocolate. Local Golden Tree chocolate has a different mix and a different package from exported Golden Tree chocolate. The local one is made for our local taste, whatever that local taste is. But once you decide to go beyond where you are, you have to amend. You cannot take the solutions in Eden and go and implement it everywhere in the world. Because when you come into new environments, it will challenge the pre-programmed solutions you have developed. So there has to be change. You have to extend, you have to contend, you have to amend. Number four, you have to transcend. What means? It means that you have to rise above the challenges. You have to surpass the existing systems. You don't amend and blend. You amend and transcend. In Matthew chapter 14, there is a very interesting story from verse 42. Jesus Christ says to his disciples, let's go to the other side. They were moving, exploring, moving from where they were to another location. But between them and the other side, there was a lake, which was almost a sea. And as the disciples went, they had opposition. And they had no clue how to solve the problem because the wind was against them. Everything was contrary to them. Then they saw Jesus come to them. He had transcended the problem. But they thought he was a ghost. Jesus came and said, "Fear not, it is I." They amended, they changed their minds. But only one of them had the courage to ask Jesus, "Can I do what you are doing?" Jesus says, "You can. You can also walk on water." And only one of them decided to walk on water. The rest were very happy to have no problem and to have Jesus in the boat. But you know, Jesus didn't want them to just have a comfortable life in the boat. He wanted them to step out and experience power over the elements. But only one person was ready to do that. May I suggest to you that in life, most people like to stay in the boat. Only a few people want to walk on the water and transcend the opposition. And for those who stay in the boat, they never feel the earth. They can be fruitful, they can multiply, but nobody will ever hear of them in the world.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter @MensahOtebe. Email Carterville@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.